have a burden, kind of began it last week, last Sunday, but we still have a ways to go, and we're sure looking for the Lord to direct this. I'm going to say some things today that may, you probably have never heard before. I'm going to talk about something that I think is of utmost importance to us and to our nation as a country. I love the Church of God. I'm very concerned about the Church of God. But I'm also concerned about the generation to come, if there is one. Probably you've heard the term before, just like that, it went out of my mind. Lord help us. Conspiracy theory. We're going to talk about a conspiracy this morning, and it's not a theory. It's a reality. Some things that I believe the Lord wants us to ponder in our hearts, and you might think, you know, why here? Why today? Such a little, maybe small group. At the present time, the Lord has dealt with me this way, and at the present time, this is the really only outlet that I have. But I have a burden from the Lord. The conspiracy, Jesus speaks about it. He says, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as we look back in our Bibles, in the beginning of Adam and Eve, beginning of man, we see that the enemy has been doing that very thing. He has a mindset to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's going to destroy everyone that he can. He has a mind, I believe, to take every soul that he can get to his hell. That place that the Bible says he will be cast into someday. He doesn't want to be alone. He wants every one of us he can get, folks. And I've said before, we may be saved, but we're not safe. I thought of a scripture as I was getting ready this morning. It's found in the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I believe God has always been faithful to warn his people, to tell his people, to instruct his people whenever they're getting careless and they're falling off the beaten track. And I believe that it is of utmost importance that God does that for you and I today. You see, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, to get a foundation. You pray for us. I'll try to get through this as quickly as I can. But folks, what I have to say today, it's not because that I'm saying it, but it's because it is of utmost importance that the Lord would have these things revealed to his people. Some things for us to ponder on. 1 Corinthians 10th chapter. Paul says here, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He's talking about the children of Israel, isn't he? His people, God's people. It says that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, God chose Moses to be the leader, at the time the head of his church. These people were immersed, he says baptized, they were immersed under Moses' authority and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Their food, their manna, the water out of the rock, it was spiritual in that it was supernaturally provided by the Spirit of God. So that's why Paul is saying that here. And he says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye adulterers, as some of them were, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt or test Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. They're written for our instruction. That's what admonition means. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Paul even spoke in his day about the end of the world. In Philippians 4 and 5, Paul said, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, I don't believe anyone here this morning can tell me when the Lord's coming back. But we can tell each other we know He's coming, because the Word of God says He is. He is coming back. And He said, it was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We've all heard the Lord's coming back all of our lives. He hasn't come back yet, but He's coming. We don't know when. But my duty, your duty, is to be ready when He does. That would be the wise thing, wouldn't it? And I pray the Lord would help us this morning to try to get a hold of what we have to say. The Lord wants us to understand just how the nature of man works. Just how conditions can become that the way they are even today in our time. But Paul here is talking about the children of Israel. We talked about them last Sunday when we spoke of the golden calf and how that they began to fall away from God and their worship was fleshly worship. We talked about that. And Paul says here, he's admonishing us that these things were written for our instruction. So they're examples to you and I. And I'd like for you not to forget that little thought. The children of Israel was God's church. They were God's people. They were a people blessed above all other people on the earth. They were the only people that God made a covenant with. They're the only people on the entire earth that He made a covenant with that He would bless them and be among them as long as they followed Him. But when they fell off of following him, things begin to change for the children of Israel. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. When they fell off of following Christ or following God and begin to follow and worship their idols, folks, things begin to change for the children of Israel. Israel, you know, I was talking to someone the other day. They told me that they still believe Israel is God's people. Well, I said Israel is the one that said, let his blood be on our hands and upon our children's heads. But I want to tell you that there is a God's people today. And it includes the Gentiles. It includes you and I that are saved by the blood of Jesus. And I thank the Lord for my salvation. And I don't want to forget, this is not a salvation message. I understand that. But I don't want to forget, you know, I appreciate salvation. But folks, I believe, as God has been dealing with my soul, that we are living in some very perilous last times. And the Bible indicates that we are living in those times. And by the help of the Lord and your prayers, I want to try to portray some of the things that transpired in the history of the children of Israel that will actually show that you and I are following in the same footprints that the children of Israel fell into. They stand as a pattern for good and for bad to the rest of the world. They're examples. It was written for our instruction. I want to drive that point home. They stand as a pattern for good or bad because they were God's people, because they were God's chosen people. They were come to a place of complacency where they really thought that everything would just stay the way that it always had been. That's the way people are living today, isn't it? Everything's just going to stay as the way it always been. And nothing's ever going to change. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm not a great prophet. I'm looking into the Word of God, and I'm here to tell you this morning, change is on its way. Change is on its way. And may God help us. Pray for this, folks. Lord, help us to have more of the fear of God upon our hearts, more of God's wisdom and understanding upon our hearts, and in our minds and in our daily lives, and that we will live in such a way that he could come back at any time and make you and I accountable for the deeds that we've done in this life, Paul said, whether they be good or evil. The children of Israel forgot their foundation. They forgot. They forgot their purpose. There is no other nation that had been called by God and been dedicated to the will of God on this earth as the children of Israel was from their conception. The covenant was a promise to Abraham. And God stands by his word, folks. He stands by his covenant that he makes with man. Lord, help me this morning. Some of you probably don't know what it's like to carry something like this. I don't mean to be harsh in any way. Again, I say, they had been given a covenant with God on the condition that if they followed the ways of God, they would become the most blessed of all nations. And they did. And I want to insert this right here, because this is where we'll eventually end up. America was founded on the principles of God's word, to do the will of God, and God blessed America, same way that He blessed Israel. God blessed America for many, many years. And as long as America blessed God, and as long as we followed in the ways of His Word, God protected us. When Israel was in the will of God, there never was an enemy that could come in and destroy the children of Israel. There wasn't an enemy that could stand up against God's people. This nation has been in wars. It's been in battles. This nation has been prosperous. It's been blessed. God has blessed this nation above all other nations on this earth. Yes, He has. Well, let me talk about something here. Let me talk about Job for just a minute. When the devil came to deal with Job, what did he tell God? He said, "You put a hedge around him." Folks, for years, God put a hedge around the children of Israel. They had a hedge around them. And there was no enemy that could destroy them. For many years, I got to go back and forth here. God has put a hedge around America. And for many years, no enemy has been able to come in and destroy us. We have been a blessed, protected people. All because God. All because... We're a proud people. This is a proud nation, folks. And I understand that. But we aren't blessed today because we're Americans. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're Israelites, whether you're Muslim or whoever you are, or Americans or whoever you come from. You can only be blessed in your life if you are following God. Following His will. Doesn't matter who you are. When Israel fell, begin to worship the golden calf, and begin to worship other idols that they worshiped back in their day. When they fell and they turned against God's ways, God removed the blessings and replaced them with curses. It's scripture. He removed the blessings. He took back the hedge. The time came. As they begin to trifle around with God, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself here, as they begin to trifle around with God and worship their idols and do their own thing and go their own way and do it with fleshly lust and didn't stay in the will of God, folks, as long as they did that, God had His blessings upon them. And they went out and eventually enemies came and enemies destroyed. But folks, there was a time when that hedge was removed and the whole entire nation of Israel was taken into captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. You think that was a coincidence? It's because a nation had fallen into apostasy. And by the way, my little title this morning to this message is Apostasy, Part 1. The dividing of the kingdom. The dividing of the kingdom. The apostasy, part one. We are still using God's name today. God bless America. We're still using His name, but it has less and less meaning behind it. Less and less meaning, folks. People do not view God in the way that God was once viewed by America. Neither did they view God the way He was once viewed by the children of Israel, because apostasy had set in. Apostasy, quite simply, means an abandonment of a previous loyalty. An abandonment of God. A falling away of God. You'll notice that after Adam and Eve fell, the very next generation, I talked about a conspiracy that the enemy has against the soul of men. And he works through us through the natural man. But you'll notice that it wasn't only one generation after Adam and Eve had been disobedient in the garden that one of their own sons rose up and killed the other one. It does not take, once there is a falling away, once there's a drifting away from God, it doesn't take the devil very long to get people in deeper and deeper trouble and farther away from God. Now let's look at what the Word of God says. I want to turn to the Kings, the book of Kings. The first chapter. I hope you're praying that the Lord will have mercy here this morning. My eyes are not cooperating very well, but I know the Lord's able to bless, because I believe that He's laid this heavy upon our hearts. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. But King Solomon. Now, I'll point something else out here before I start reading. King Solomon was only the third in line of succession of kings over the children. He was only the third one. Saul, he kind of messed up and his kingdom was rented away and it was given to David. God loved David. David loved God. He didn't do everything just right, but there was a great relationship between David and God. When he got into trouble, he put himself into God's hands, didn't he? Well, I sure hope you're going to be able to bear with us this morning. That clock is moving awful fast. But here we are, Solomon, David's son. Just three kings into the kings over the children of Israel. And it says King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel. The nations that the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into me, in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, and Solomon clave unto these in love. You know, we say it a lot. God says what He means. And when we choose to take our own way and overstep those bounds that God has set for mankind, and He said, stay away from them, they're going to pull your hearts away, you will end up worshiping their gods. It's exactly what happened, isn't it? And it says, Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect before with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. God's name did not have the meaning that it once had. And notice that the apostasy begins with the falling away of the kings, the leaders, the ones that are over the people, the ones that God made responsible because of their acts and their deeds of evil. It started with the leadership. Things haven't changed, folks. If you'll bear with us over time, by the help of the Lord, I want to show you that things have not changed all that much. Verse 7, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. He built high places, places of worship. Instructed his children, his people, you know, I built these high places, these groves and these places, these altars, that you can go and worship these gods. What about the one true God? Forgot about him, didn't they? They've fallen away. You know, I really believe there was a point in time where the children of Israel had no idea what was coming. I really believe that at one time, America had no idea what was coming until evil began to work in the hearts of men. Until leaders began to fall away and lead people astray. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Oh, verse 8, and likewise did he for all of his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Folks, I want to tell you something. Those little things that we don't feel sometimes is so important could be the very means of our downfall. Oh, it's not important. I don't have to do that. You and I need a heavy conviction upon our souls from God. We need to be convicted of some things. Convinced of what's right and convinced of what's wrong. Oh, those little things. We don't have to do those little things. God come along here and he judged King Solomon. He commanded him these that concerning this thing that he shouldn't go after other gods. Verse 11 says, the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. God said, I came to you twice. Remember the first time Solomon had counsel with God? He said, I don't know how to go in or come out before these people. And God gave him wisdom. And he gave him wealth. And he blessed him above all other kings that there ever was in his day. He blessed him. He came to him the second time when Solomon built and dedicated the temple. And God come down and he talked to him again. And as long as you follow me and as long as you keep this house of worship, what it ought to be, I will come down and I will bless you and I will bless the people. And I'll come down and be in your midst as long as you do that. And the Lord reminded Solomon, after he had married all these women, sometimes kings back in those days married for politics' sake, to try to keep peace with other nations around them. But God told him not to do that, because they had gods, and those gods would draw their hearts away. Let's read verse 29, right here in the same book, chapter. Came to pass, time went, at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. Now Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. So this, God's in control. Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. Jeroboam. Now, for those of us like I have been for so long, but I think I got it straightened out in my mind, this is the division of the kingdoms. When Solomon died, Jeroboam became king over Israel, the northern kingdom. His son was Rehoboam. Jeroboam, Rehoboam. Rehoboam became king over Judah, the southern kingdom. Judah is where Bethlehem was. Judah is where the city of David was. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, would become king over the southern kingdom where Bethlehem is. So if that's not clear, maybe it will be by the time we're finished. He said, but, verse 32, he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because that they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth the god, goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh the god of the Moabites, Milcom the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments as David his father. Can't stress it enough, folks. We got to do this God's way. We got to follow his word. We got to follow his statutes and his judgments. The Bible teaches that. And when we don't, folks, there's curses upon that. God will change. He'll pull the hedge away. And he'll allow a nation or a people or a church. Folks, we love the church of God and we must work to keep it pure and holy and righteous. And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to see that that is done. And when the church in general begins an apostasy and a falling away from God and gets too close to the world and gets their minds and their affections set on the things of this earth, folks, we are going to be asking for judgments. The judgments of God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed in the way that he deals with people. So, where do I want to go to here? 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. First verse, Rehoboam. Now that was Solomon's son. Now we just had where the Lord sent the prophet. And he said, I'm going to give you 10 tribes. That's Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom. But Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and God left unto him two tribes, which was Simeon and Judah. It talks about one tribe, but Simeon was there with Judah, and he had the one tribe. Now notice, in the dividing of the tribes, Simeon and Judah in the southern kingdom, and the other 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, the Levites was in the northern kingdom. Keep that in mind. The Levites, the priests, were in the northern kingdom. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel here were come to Shechem to make him king. Solomon was gone. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. They're talking about Solomon here. Solomon, in having all of his riches and all the things that he brought into his own house and into the temple, somebody has to pay for those things, don't they? Somebody has to pay for those things. So it took a lot of taxing of the people. It took a lot of labor of the people to provide for King Solomon. And they said, they really have had enough of this. They've had enough of this. This is basically what they're saying here. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, lighter, and we will serve thee. The children of Israel all came, all 12 tribes. They came and they said, you make that yoke lighter and we'll serve you. The dividing of the kingdom. And he said unto them, depart yet 3 days, then come to me. And the people departed. Now I'm not, for the sake of time, not going to read it, but Rehoboam, it says he went to the ancient men. He went to the old men and he got their counsel and they said, make it lighter. You want the people to serve you? You want the people to have an allegiance to you? You make their yoke lighter. You want them to follow you. Well, he went then and he asked the young men, the ones that he had grown up with, and they told him to make it even heavier than it was before. See, it's all right there in this chapter. Make it heavier than it was before. So they all came, verse 12. People came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had said. And the king answered the people roughly, forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord. The cause was from the Lord. They didn't understand, but the cause was from the Lord. He'd already told through the prophet to Jeroboam, I'm gonna rent the kingdom out of his hand. So this was from the Lord. What portion? And the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get up to his chariot. He went to Jerusalem. Rehoboam, God said he's going to be the king of the southern kingdom. Jeroboam was the king of the northern kingdom. And it says that Israel, verse 19, rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Thus, the dividing of the kingdom. Folks, let me insert something here. The devil has been working for thousands of years. He's been working in the hearts and the lives to have an effect on how people obey and listen to the Word of God. He's been working on those things. And today you and I have seen a strong dividing of the kingdom of light and darkness. There's a strong division. Not just a division, folks, but a strong division of light and darkness. The kingdom of darkness. Folks, that's the kingdom that the devil works in. The kingdom of light is the kingdom that the God of heaven works in. You and I, the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelations that there is a battle. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And you and I are not waiting till the Lord comes back and sets his foot on earth, folks, to fight this battle. We have been fighting this battle for hundreds of years. A battle between good and evil. And it is definitely there. The line of demarcation has been set. There is a line that belongs to the kingdom of darkness, and on the other side it belongs to God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's left to you and I, isn't it? It's left to you and I. The kingdom is divided. So the people went down and assembled under Rehoboam up in the northern kingdom. I'm sorry, Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. The people said, we're not following him, but we'll follow you. Now, verse 25. Lord, help us. Then Jeroboam built Shechem. Jeroboam. 10 tribes. Northern kingdom. Children of Israel. Built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, you know, this is from God, folks. When man chooses to fall away, to follow their own lust and desires, to follow their own purpose, God steps in, see, and he will cause people to do things they don't even understand why they're doing it. But God's involved in it. He said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn against unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they'll kill me and go to Rehoboam, king of Judah. You see, the devil began to work in his mind and his thoughts. And he got it in his heart that these people will kill me someday and they'll go and they'll start following Rehoboam. He's got 10 tribes up there. And I've got 2 down here. Verse 28, apostasy. Whereupon the king took counsel, made 2 calves of gold, and said unto them, here we go with the golden calves again. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know, that sounds so preposterous to me. That a man that would be king over God's people would even say something that ridiculous. And it even seems more ridiculous to me to believe that people would follow and would accept that. But as I look upon America today, the ridiculousness of it kind of falls away. And I'm understanding more and more when a heart gets hard, when a heart gets rebellious, and people push God aside out of their lives, out of their culture, out of everything that they do in their life and begin to worship these false gods, people will do anything. People will do anything if the devil is in it. And he said to one, O Israel, he said, these are your gods which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, the other Putti and Dan. This thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. He made a house of high places. He made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam obtained a feast, ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so he did in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt sacrifice. Folks, this is all out of the will of God. God didn't ordain any of this. This is man that has taken upon himself to take his own way, forget God. Push God out of your mind, out of your life. Push God into another place. An abandonment of previous loyalty. That's what they had done here. All right. They turned to God from God to idols. Now, I'll do a little less reading. The replacing of God. Here's what I think we need to understand. The replacing of God with idols of wood and stone and golden calves. And the invisible with the visible, the physical and the tangible, represented to those people. Didn't know it. Their eyes were blinded. But it represented a descent into materialism, carnality, and sensuality. Thus, fleshly worship. They changed spirituality for sensuality. Holiness for profanity. And righteousness for self-interest. They changed all of that. They made an exchange. And what they once knew to be immoral, now they worshiped as something sacred. Folks, it gets worse. It gets worse. The degrading of man, the devil will take man's to the lowest depth that he can possibly take him. Man can become so depraved, he has no idea, no knowledge, no understanding of what morality, righteousness, godliness, the devil can take man to the depths, he don't understand what any of those things are anymore. And instead of denying that, what it once was, they will now worship the things that they knew that were wrong. They will now proclaim them as being sacred. It gets worse. They replace God with their own idols. Since, now let's look at this. Consider this. Since they were creating their own gods, and they were, it represented a turning away from absolute truth. Folks, this is serious. Truth was not absolute anymore. Absolute truth is what God says. That's absolute truth. You might stand up and tell me something that may be partially true to the best of your knowledge and understanding, but from an infinite God that tells man what morality is and what righteousness and godliness and holiness is, he told the children of Israel back from the beginning, "Be ye therefore holy, for I am the Lord your God, I'm a holy God." Since they were now creating their own gods, it represented a turning away from absolute truth. This king makes two calves, sets them up there and says, "These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt." Was that true? Wasn't true at all. But the people fell for it. The people began to follow and they began to worship those gods. Their worship was now fleshly. They begin to worship God away from absolute truth and begin to embrace subjective rationale. Subjective, I want to give a definition. Subjective thinking is based on feelings or opinions. rather than facts. We have religions operating in this world and in this country today that people are worshiping God with subjective thinking. Their worship, much of their worship, is not grounded and based on the Word of God. The Word of God is not subjective. It is fact. It is fact. But notice, if they can create their own truth now of God's holy word, if they can create their own truth, they could do away with absolute truth. Friends, I want to remind you of something. It is absolute truth of God's holy word that we are dependent upon for our eternal existence. The absolute truth of God's holy word, and only God's holy word. Not any preacher, not any priest, not anyone else, but of God's holy word. Absolute truth. God says. And he said his word won't return unto him void, didn't he? Now once I've fallen into that place with subjective thinking, here's where the children of Israel went to, and here's where we are today. You can put two and two together. They could now overrule the Word of God. They're taking the place of God now, and they're overruling the Word of God, and they're creating new laws to change the laws of God and make them of none effect. They're also creating a new morality. This is what the children of Israel did. This is what America's done. To change the standards they had once viewed as immutable or unchangeable. They changed those standards. They changed those standards, and the kingdom of light and darkness was now officially divided. That's how we got here. That's how we got here, folks. Paul said these things were for our examples, for our instruction, for our admonition. Lord, help us. Now, we live in a modern age, in a modern time. We don't have golden calves. But I want to, by the help of the Lord, I want to help us to understand a little bit about idols. Americans just don't call them idols, but we got them. When God was pushed from American life, idols came in to fill the void. Man needs something to fill the void when God is pushed away. We need something. Because God made man in his likeness, didn't it? In his image. God made man as such that he intended, there was something that he put in man that God intended for you and I to have a relationship with him, an intimacy with him, a spiritual connection with God. And we push that away and we're going to fill it with something. We today have filled it with these gods. Sensuality. Greed. Money. Success. Comfort. Materialism. Pleasure. Sexual immorality. Wow. That's quite a God we have today. Self-worship, and last but not least, self-obsession. Folks, people are obsessed with getting all the things of this world that they can get. Ask someone today, how you doing? Well, I'm living the dream. I got news for you, folks. The dream, you're going to wake up. And that dream is going to become a nightmare. Because God says what He means, and He means what He says, and His word won't return unto Him void. And just as the children of Israel were judged by God, so will we be as a nation. Because of our turning away and pushing God aside. What has happened is the sacred increasingly disappeared, and the profane took its place. We, as a people, as children of Israel did, you know what we got? We got amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. We forgot. We've lost our remembrance. My remembering don't work very good in the first place as far as the natural's concerned, but we have a spiritual amnesia today. We forgot our foundations, our purpose, and our calling before a mighty God. Folks, we were created to glorify God, not to glorify man, not to lift ourselves up in any way. Anything that we've made. Don't put any evil things before you, folks. Our standards, children of Israel and us, our standards and values have been abandoned. Our culture has been corrupted and growing more crude and vulgar as the days go by. We are now encouraged to be tolerant. Do you know, 20 years ago, I was in meetings. I won't go into a lot of detail, but I was in meetings as a minister. And we were encouraged to be tolerant by some. We have come to the point as a nation that we are tolerant of the evil. We are tolerant of the wicked. We're tolerant of pornography. We're tolerant of abortion. We're tolerant of murder. We're tolerant of drunkenness. We're tolerant of a lot of things. But that is what they want us to be today. But they are intolerant with those that will stand true to God's word and stand true and be faithful to what God told us, how God told us to live and how He told us to walk. It's getting more intolerant of you and I all the time. See what you're up against? We will need the grace of God, folks. That's what I'm praying for. Courage. Do you know it takes boldness to say what I'm saying here this morning? It does. The devil don't like it. He's already been attacking me physically. And I'm not surprised. The devil doesn't want these things said. He doesn't want it exposed. But I'm expecting and I'm hoping that this will go out and there'll be many more. Hear what thus saith the Lord today. I'm not done. As long as the Lord lets me live, if He wants me to take this out, I'm going to take it among us. You know, I was reading over in Ezekiel. I identify with him a lot. Lord said, I'm going to send you to the house of Israel. I'm going to send you to your people. They're not going to listen to you. You can read it yourself, second chapter of Ezekiel. They're not going to listen to you because they don't listen to me. The saints, what we're saying here this morning is entirely up to you whether you want to accept it or not. I'm not trying to drive anything down anybody's throat. But I've used the Word of God and I'm telling you like it is. I'm telling you how God has laid it on my heart. You don't have to accept it, but Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, Ezekiel, I'm not going to send you to a fierce people, a people that don't understand your language. No, no. He said, they would hear you. But I'm going to send you to the house of Israel. Saints, let's be on our guards today. Keep your heart soft. Keep your mind on heavenly, godly things. And you need to have a head, a swivel on your neck, 360 degrees, that you can look all around you and be watchful and careful of the directions that the enemy can come and make an imposition on your life, on your heart. These are dangerous times. Paul said it. And he said in another place, the Spirit speaketh expressly. How's the rest of that go? That some will fall away? I don't know why. You know, the devil's fighting. He's fighting hard this morning, but that's all right. The Spirit speaketh expressly that some will fall away and turn their hearts after other gods.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
All right. Lord said, I'm going to send you to the house of Israel. I said, okay. We'll tell the house of Israel whatever it is you want told. Folks, when we tolerate things today that are evil, we marginalize the Word of God. And they want to condemn you and I, as I said before, that want to remain faithful and hold the values that are still dear and precious to our hearts. Is it important to ask for the old past? Oh, my Lord. It is so important today. Be careful how modernized you get, folks. Be careful how you allow the enemy to suck you in to the modern way of thinking, to the streams that are carrying people down to materialism and all the other isms that are out there in the world today. Be very careful, because it'll suck you in. Keep your mind on God. Be sober-minded. Paul said in one place, it's time to wake up. Now it's high time to wake up out of sleep. Folks, it's high. We ain't got no business sleeping spiritually. You better be on your guard, because the enemy is after every one of us. He's after us. Back in Israel's day and in our day, God has been driven out of our public squares. He's been driven out of government. He's been driven out of the instruction of our children, which will affect future generations. He's been driven out of our culture, and eventually out of our lives. Very, very few out there today want to talk about God. They want to talk about His Word. That's not important to them. Very few. They want to talk and discuss those kind of things today. There are many today that don't even feel the need to go to worship the one true God. They don't feel the need. Hearts have been calloused, been hardened, folks, through the deceitfulness of sin, the Bible says. We have been permeated with so many idols today that we are carnal, materialistic, and fragmented in our culture. Our Israel began, their civilization began to be at war against the foundation on which it once stood. You see where we are today, folks? In time, the heathen values were tolerated, then established, and then enforced. We go from talking about immorality, and now we establish immorality. And then we begin, the government comes along and enforces them. The king said, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt. Follow him. Worship him. And they did. In other words, what we had once opposed and shunned, we have now become. That's what the children of Israel came to. They're our examples for our instruction. You know, we are living in such a time today . We got Christmas coming up. They've been fighting against nativity scenes now for how many years? We have 9/11 hit a few years back. You know why? Because God took away the hedge, folks. The hedge has been taken away. We got to the point now where, well, back in those days, people said, where's God? Where's God? Why would we ask where God is when we took him out of school? We took him out of government. We took his Ten Commandments off the walls and out of the public display. Why? How can we ask, where's God? How can we expect God to protect a people that has apostatized and turned away from God and replaced him in their heart and their life? How can we expect God to do that? I think we've forgotten an awful lot. We've forgotten an awful lot, folks. And the Lord wants you and I to be on our guard. To be watchful. It ain't always going to be like it is today. You've heard the same things I've heard. Our electric grid, our water supplies, they don't have to come over here and wipe us out with nuclear missiles. They don't have to do that. But they'll do whatever God permits and whatever God allows. There's never been a people that's turned away from God and has not been judged. America's on the verge of a great judgment because we have turned our back on God. The dividing of the kingdom. It wasn't God's wish, it wasn't God's will, but he said, Solomon, I told you twice. I've talked to you twice. I told you to leave those strange women alone because they'll take your heart after their gods, folks. America has taken people's hearts after America's gods. We're worshiping a lot of things today, but we're not worshiping God. We're not putting God first in our life. We're not looking to God for direction, for counsel, for understanding. We're a nation that is so far away from God, it is so sad that we have replaced him with so many other things. So many other things. I want to close with these comments. The scripture says righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness is what make a nation prosperous. It's what will make a nation of plenty. But he said sin is a reproach to any people. We're seeing it. I want us to be aware. You're seeing it right before your eyes. As you live today in this time, it's right before your eyes. Be aware. None of us are above a being of falling away unless we keep ourselves hid in the love and the grace of God. Got to keep ourselves hid. One other thing. Jesus said, of whom much is given, much shall be required. Saints, you and I have been given much. You and I are responsible for an awful lot of truth that God has sent our way and convicted our souls of what's right and what's wrong. But I'm going to say a little step further. Now, I say you and I'm talking about the church. But another step farther, America has been given much. And a much will be required. Doesn't it bring a solemnness upon our hearts, folks? No other nation on earth has been given as much as America has. No other people on earth has been given as much as God's people has. We've been given a lot, folks. May the Lord help us to cherish it. To love His Word, absolute truth. Love it with all of our hearts, folks. This Bible, the book that we have before us, is our roadmap. You want to go to heaven, you're going to follow it. If you want to fall on the wayside and you don't want to follow this, you're not going to go to God's heaven. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to God's heaven. I don't care what kind of excuses you make or what kind of things that you come up with. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Jesus gave His life a sacrifice for us. A nation once blessed by God. I told folks I was in Four Corners several years ago holding a little meeting down there for the folks. And I said, you know, they're saying God bless America. How can you ask years ago God to bless America when you see the destructive path that America is on? Saints, it falls right with the church. I've heard all my life, as the country goes, so goes the church. Lord, help us to stay humble. Lord, help us to be a praying people. Down in Holly Hill, Sister Molly sings, let us get back to Father's praying ground. Let's spend more time on our faces before God in prayer. Let's be more aware of what's going on around us and all the devices that the enemy has come up with. If I'll just put it that way, he's devised against you and I. Be aware of him, folks. It was only meant for one thing. It's a conspiracy. He has conspired against truth ever since God set it in motion. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. May the Lord bless each and every one of us today. Thank you.